This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani told Fox News earlier this week the president did repay that $130,000 payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels. That news directly contradicts what Donald Trump and his lawyer Michael Cohen had been previously saying. And the Washington Post reports special counsel Robert Mueller may subpoena the president for his Russia investigation. Plus, Washington continues to stir about comedian Michelle Wolf's speech at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Did she take things too far? Here to talk about that and more is political junkie Ken Rudin. Hello, Ken.
Frank, how much of the stuff you just said did you make up?
I mean, no, it's... You know, and in all of this, Ken, about 2 weeks ago, we missed the story entirely. I know, deception from the White House again, more turmoil, things that can't possibly be true, actually in the headlines. The Queen Mum, 2 weeks ago, announced that she wants Bonnie Prince Charles to be her successor. The white Western world is guaranteed succession, and that means we're all safe, and we don't even note that, Ken. Instead, we're talking about scandals in Washington.
That's because you give me so little time every week. Okay, let's get to it. Let's get to it.
All right. Rudy Giuliani, Fox News, the president did pay the money, and he's thinking, this gets him out of hot water because now it's not a campaign contribution by his lawyer. Oops, but the president should have reported it if he said. Well, anyway, tell me more.
Again, I mean, it was amazing. First of all along the argument was that Michael Cohen, the president's attorney, paid $130,000 to Stormy Daniels. Actually, her real name is actually who cares what her real name is?
How about we care? But it's yes,
it's Stephanie Clifford. I know that. But anyway, so he says he paid it out of the goodness out of his heart. The president knew nothing about this, and the president never paid me back, which of course nobody believed. Lo and behold, Rudy Giuliani goes on the Hannity show and says, "Well, yes, Cohen paid $130,000, but the president did pay him back, has been paying him back in installments." Now, Giuliani's argument somehow is that by doing it out of his own personal money, it didn't violate any campaign finance laws, but it does violate the Ethics in Government Act, which says that public officials are supposed to report liabilities and payments and things like that, and the president certainly did not do that. So, you know, what's the most interesting thing is when President Trump said this morning, he said that, you know, Rudy's a great guy and he's just learning his job and he'll get his facts straight. I think he meant to say he'll get his lies straight, because this is not exactly good news for the president.
No, it is a lie that the president told him. What's interesting is that there were the tweets that came from the president's account, clearly not written by the president, I mean, because it's in language that he simply doesn't use, that verified initially what Giuliani had said. And this came in legalese. And now the president gets off a helicopter and says Giuliani needs to get his facts straight.
As you were saying that, I was thinking of this, saying that the tweets didn't sound like the president. Well, it reminds me of what the president's physician said that didn't sound like the president's physician, saying, you know, a few years ago they said he was the healthiest president in the history of mankind. And as it turned out, the former physician said this week that, no, Trump wrote that himself and made me say it. So this is just this is such Alice in Wonderland.
Interesting stuff, but there are people who are looking for the actual truth, that is to say, those statements which are somehow validated by facts and corroborated elsewhere. Robert Mueller is one of those people who's looking for that, and he says that he would like to talk to the president. The president has said he'd like to talk to Mueller. President's lawyers don't feel the same way.
Well, almost every lawyer says that would be a fatal mistake for the president because— I mean, you know, in fairness, the president doesn't often tell the truth, and I'm not sure if he always knows what the truth is, because he could say two completely divergent things within a day or a minute of each other and think they're both correct. So the attorneys say that the president could inadvertently open himself to perjury. So as a matter of fact, one of his attorneys, John Dowd, resigned because the president is not listening to his advice. The president thinks he could charm everybody, and nobody in the world thinks that he could charm Robert Mueller, and that's why there's such dissension within the president's law partners and lawyers.
No, and this points to the interesting distinction, the political and the legal arguments, because the president does get away with this. A recent, I think it was a Pew study that showed that the president's base, the core supporters for him, say they know he lies and they don't care. And so, and he knows that, right? And so the fact is that politically, he, among his base, it's very clear that there's no price to pay for this. But in a court of law, when the statement you made isn't corroborated, and in fact, there's contrary evidence, that's when you commit a felony, and that becomes an impeachable offense.
You make a very, very good point. The fact that they may or may not either lie or give misstatements or whatever you want to call it to the media, to the public, I mean, that's not, you know, nice to do, but it's not illegal. When you talk to an investigator working for Robert Mueller and lie to him, then you know that you're in big trouble, as we've seen with many indictments already and guilty pleas by former Trump staffers. So that's the thing you cannot do. And the fear is you let the president go unhinged before Robert Mueller, and goodness knows what he can say.
Yeah. Now, talk more about the legal team and how they're handling this, because Ty Cobb, a longtime member of the Trump legal team, if longtime applies to anybody in the White House, is stepping down. Where are we in this, and what can we expect, given the president's willingness to talk to Mueller and all the legal advice to the contrary?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think anybody knows the answer, because every time we get a new attorney, we think that something will change. Obviously, I mentioned John Dowd earlier. You mentioned Ty Cobb leaving as well. Emmett Flood, who was a Clinton impeachment attorney, is now on the Trump legal team, which makes me think that they know that a confrontation with Mueller is very, very inevitable. And I mean, we were talking about Rudy Giuliani. Was the advantage of Rudy Giuliani being on the legal team is that he knows Robert Mueller, but given what he said on Hannity, given what he's been saying the last couple of days, I don't think Giuliani helps the cause that much.
From a historical perspective, what about this? Because he could also be compelled, or at least Mueller could try to subpoena the president and compel him to testify. What's the history of this?
Well, I mean, I don't know how many times this happened in history. Of course, you remember with Bill Clinton, with the Paula Jones case. I mean, he was subpoenaed, and the word was that he did testify voluntarily. Richard Nixon was not subpoenaed to testify, but he was. The Supreme Court unanimously ruled that he had to turn over tapes, and he did that. And, of course, that was the beginning of the end of Richard Nixon. This would be unprecedented in the fact many think that the president's, given what's going on lately, that the president's presidency could be teetering, and a subpoena and testifying, under oath, could be very damaging. But at the same time, and again, I'm not a psychiatrist, although I probably need one.
You've seen enough. Go ahead, pretend.
Exactly. But I mean, this, you know, I don't know if the president. I think he believes everything he says, or he's convinced himself of everything he says. And so you're saying, well, he lied under oath. Did he lie? I don't know. I mean, yikes.
I am talking to the political junkie, Ken Rudin, today on The State of Things. Well, let's talk about some more comedy. This was intentional. This, the comedy of Michelle Wolf, who goes to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, makes a few jokes, and a lot of people are upset. Let's listen to a clip, and then you and I can talk about what went wrong, maybe.
Good evening. Here we are, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Like a porn star says when she's about to have sex with a Trump, let's get this over with. 2018, and I'm a woman, so you cannot shut me up. Unless you have Michael Cohen wire me $130,000. Michael, you can find me on Venmo under my porn star name, Reince Priebus. Reince just gave a thumbs up. Okay. You guys gotta stop putting Kellyanne on your shows. All she does is lie. If you don't give her a platform, she has nowhere to lie. It's like that old saying, if a tree falls in the woods, how do we get Kellyanne under that tree? I'm not suggesting she gets hurt, just stuck. And I'm never really sure what to call Sarah Huckabee Sanders. You know, is it Sarah Sanders? Is it Sarah Huckabee Sanders? Is it Cousin Huckabee? Is it Auntie Huckabee Sanders? Like, what's Uncle Tom but for white women who disappoint other white women?
All right. Michelle Wolf, Saturday night, the 2018 White House Correspondents' Dinner, and Republicans, a lot of people criticized her. Okay?
Well, you know something? Yes, the Republicans did criticize her, and it was, if you look at social media, they, you know, first of all, she was not always funny. Some of her things, I think, crossed the line, because I'm very disoriented when it comes to these things. But what bothered me the most is not that the Republicans criticizing her, and that's fine, was that so many of the media criticized her. When Andrea Mitchell of NBC News said that Sarah Sanders, who really wasn't attacked any more than anybody else, that Sarah Sanders deserved an apology. Well, I mean, when Stephen Colbert had his, you know, his 2006 performance when he attacked President Bush, which was pretty cruel. I mean, nobody said President Bush deserves an apology. It's a comedian. You either think she's funny or she's not funny, and she was funny and she was not funny. And the White House Correspondents' Dinner, who invited her, had to know what they were getting with Michelle Wolf. And Peter Baker said of the New York Times said, well, you know, I'm not sure if she advanced the cause of journalism. Well, no, comedians are crying out loud.
They're comedians. They're jokes. This is where what it's come to is when we're sort of analyzing the comics as though they should have been journalists. And sometimes the other way around, sadly.
But the White House reaction saying, oh, yeah, we have to get rid of comedy bits from now on. Yeah. I mean, look, obviously, if you're a journalist in that room and you're laughing at jokes aimed at the president, that is an uncomfortable feeling, given the fact that the press has been accused, rightly or wrongly, of being anti-Trump. Now, of course, the president, you know, is lodging that complaint. He's going around the country, as he was Saturday night in Michigan, talking about how evil the press is, and it's the enemy of the American people, and they're liars, and they're cheaters, and they're fake. So the relationship is poisoned. I don't think having Michelle Wolf as an entertainer helped the cause at all. But at the same time, the hand-wringing among Beltway journalists seemed to, you know, put a little knot in my stomach.
Got to go. Ken Rudin, Political Junkie. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Ken.
See you, Frank.
You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. There's more to come. Stay tuned.